It's hard for me to believe, but this is the fifth family policy conference that we've held and our fifth year of operation. It's been 5 good years we're expecting, and we're looking forward to 5 more and 5 more after that as well. I'm very privileged to work with a very dedicated group of people. You met them this morning, each one of whom is passionate about their work in some aspect of social policy concerning marriage and family. As you've heard this morning, we'll continue to hear this afternoon, we're passionate not just because of personal conviction, but because we believe that the research leads us to these conclusions. Since 2006, the IMFC has appeared in several committee meetings, hosted numerous policy briefings, published dozens of pieces of research, and participated in literally hundreds and hundreds of media interviews. But for what purpose? Where does this take us? What does this work amount to? Well, just looking back on the last few weeks, on March 26th, Canada entered into our most recent federal election campaign. We all know the results as of this past Monday. But what was of significant interest and difference in this particular election is the amount of family policy that was discussed for the very first time. Now, while we can't take all the credit for that, we will accept our little bit of a share on that. We'll accept our share because while we've been contributing to the discussion of this in the public square, that place where we talk with our neighbors, where we try to create a better, stronger community. It might be in the church foyer or the backyard barbecue. It might be at the soccer pitch or the hockey rink. It's talking with our neighbors and our friends. It's often through the talk radio shows, through the public affairs television shows, and through the print media's interviews and op-ed pages as well. And that's where we've been spending a lot of time. During this election period, we saw discussion by one or more of the main federal political parties on a wide variety of family and social policy topics. Topics that have been near and dear to our heart, in fact. Family income splitting, that issue where your taxation would occur as a family, not just mom and or dad. It combines it together, leaving more money in your pocket. The child fitness tax credit, which was moved from $500 to $1,000 under the Conservatives as a policy item. Provincial funding for childcare spaces by several different versions of that by a couple of the different parties. But they've all been talking about childcare. Caregiver benefits for elderly. Again, several different versions of that, but a very important topic as we have an aging demographic society. The expansion of maternity benefits. Jonas was talking about maternity benefits in Sweden. That discussion is taking place here as well. Different options supporting moms that want to stay home as they give birth to their children. And while each and every one of these was talked about by one or more of the different federal political parties, there are times that we agreed with the policy proposals, and there are times that we disagreed with it. But we could rely on research that had been developed either internally or through some of the experts that we have here today or around the world to say why we came to a different conclusion or the same conclusion as the politicians did. What stood out for us during this campaign was that suddenly not only were the parties talking about family policy, but the media was as well. During the past several weeks of the federal election, IMFC staff were involved in almost 80 different interviews. 80 different interviews. That's substantial. And there are other groups that were talking about things like this as well. We range from national television and print to talk radio and op-eds as well. Some of which you'll find over here in the sideboards. And if you want to listen to our dulcet tones, you can hear it on the website as well. Suffice to say, we were busy. But we were pleased to do so during this election time. Because contrary to what Kim Campbell said, this is a time that we can talk about policy. It is a time that we can talk about options. It's something that we can say and make a difference, both what the politicians are saying, but also what the electorate is saying as well. The question that I pondered through all of this was why the parties were suddenly talking about family-related issues, when for most of the past recent campaigns, they hardly talked about social programs at all. And in my opinion, there are several different reasons. Number one that I put out was the highlighted profile of family issues. Have you ever actually noticed how often the family is referred to in the media and advertising? Last week, millions of people around the globe watched the wedding of a member of the royal family. Many different products are advertised that this is good for your family. This is the right car for your family. It's healthy for your family. So on one level, the media gets it, and the advertising agencies get it. They want to talk about you and your family. But I also believe that it's the very public work of the IMFC and others that are promoting family-friendly policy over the past several years that has raised this awareness. We're not the only ones, but we've been in that public square as well. In spite of the disregard for the institution of family by some advertising and entertainment industries, there's a strong notion that family is and remains an important and integral part of our society. And this is reflected in my second point, which is that solid research is being published and distributed. With people such as Drs. Wilcox, Regnerus, Schwartz, and Jones all here today, and many others like them around the world, we are learning and coming to better understanding of why some models of family work better than others. While in the past we may not have understood extrinsically why that was the case, there are many situations where we all understand intrinsically that some family formation is better than others. Why some young men are more prone to violence and gang behavior than others. Why some young women are more likely to be single teen moms than others. Why couples who cohabit are more likely to break up than married couples. Sociologists and other researchers have been delving into these questions. And in many cases, these questions are striking. I think we saw some of that already this morning, and I anticipate we will this afternoon as well. So I'm pleased that we can work with many of those researchers around the world in order to provide and help shape stronger Canadian families. Third reason is that trends such as demographics cannot be ignored. When the research clearly shows where trend lines are heading, decision makers need to recognize what both the short-term and the long-term consequences and outcomes will be. Canada is in the midst of a significant downturn in its birth rate. At the same time, all those baby boomers, and there might be a couple of us in this room, are getting older. Here's one, I saw one. The cost of health care, different forms of senior housing, and a host of other services are going to continue to rise. Some of the burden will fall within the private sector, but other costs are clearly in the public sector, and so will it fall on the backs of that smaller demographic group, the taxpayer. Higher costs, lower taxes, or lower tax base. When these types of qualitative trends are identified, solutions must be sought out. And research outside of government through organizations such as the IMFC and some others recognized here, and many of the people individually represented here, is imperative. And this leads to the fourth point, that social versus fiscal policy is interacted. For far too long, politicians have looked at social and fiscal policy as different and separate items. While there are many aspects within each field where this can be true, the outcomes of both dramatically depend on each other and affect each other as well. High tax policy rates affect the amount of money that families have left in their pocket. This in turn shapes their decision-making process when they want to start their family, when they want to add to their family, how large their family will be, when or if they'll buy a house, send kids to camp, make a large purchase. In turn, those family decisions impact the economy, and the cycle continues once again. It's important, if not imperative, that we look at the short-term and the long-term outcomes. Whereas many fiscal policy shifts can and seem to be felt immediately, many social policy changes have to be looked at in the long term. My fifth point here is that families are important, and society knows it. Contrary to some of the media reports, most of us know that family is actually very important. Family is who we are when we rely on in times of crisis, who we call for celebrations, sharing, and many of our long-term relationships. It's where we first learn communication skills and budgeting, the need to support one another, especially in times of crisis. Our initial introduction to civil society and social justice most often comes through the family. We need to support this unique and critically important social institution. And I think Jonas talked about that a little bit already this morning. So here's a question for you. Why is it that so-called family movies are so rarely made? I did a little calculation when I looked on the website the other day. In the past 13 years, 9 of the top 13 annual best revenue generating movies were some form of what we would call a family movie. Collectively, they topped over $3 billion. Toy Story 3, Shrek 2, Finding Nemo, Pirates of the Caribbean. A handful of others as well. You may agree or disagree that that is a movie appropriate for your families, but they sort of fell into that general definition. When the Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader opened, it grossed $25 million that weekend. The same weekend, Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp only brought in $17.5 million. The Tourist, I think that one was called. And yet, which was promoted more? What did you hear more about? Families will support movies and other entertainment that is wholesome for raising our children and having a date night. But much of the entertainment industry shies away from that. It makes me wonder if they have a hidden agenda. So what does having an election campaign with so much debate around family policy mean? Well, it means that the politicians at some level are starting to get it. It means that for those of us in this room, scattered across the country and around the world doing research, working on social policy, supporting families in a wide variety of ways, we should be able to start to find a favorable ear. I'll be honest, I did not agree with everything that all the parties said about family policy during the election. And surprise, they're not about to agree with everything the IMFC has said as well. But in my mind, the important factor is that we're collectively able to talk about it. We're able to raise that issue. That door is open on a public scale now. We can talk about those issues. We can best discuss how to deal with family income splitting and childcare based on what the research is actually telling us. It also means that collectively our research and resources can be used by the decision makers at every political level. It also means something else. While we can and should be held accountable for the research that we undertake and promote, the politicians should also be held accountable for their actions, their inaction on these files as well. Expectations should not be unrealistic, but they should be tangible. Prime Minister Harper has indicated that family income splitting will be brought forward after the budget is balanced. Do I wish it was sooner? Absolutely. Family income splitting is something that the IMFC has been actively researching and promoting for over 5 years now. But there's another part of me that understands that we need to also act responsibly. I don't think that any one of us wants to see additional debt pushed onto our children and our grandchildren. However, we will watch and remind our elected officials that what they have promised on that issue needs to come through as well. Our goal is to continue to put forward credible, well-researched policy that will support the institutions of marriage and family. So what do the next 5 years look like for the IMFC? We recently celebrated our fifth anniversary, and some of you were able to join us. Thank you for that. And so through that process, we spent a little time around that question. Through navel-gazing, feedback from outside individuals, some healthy internal critiquing, we started to set our goals for the next 5 years and beyond. The IMFC is strong and looking for new opportunities to continue the debate in the public square around family and social policy. So we've toned our research to 6 specific areas: family and education, family and demographics, family and finances, notice the theme start there, family and children, family and community, and family and marriage. Collectively, this supports our vision of transforming the way Canadians think about family. I hope that you will not only support us, but that you will join us on this journey as well. Thank you.